Buenas.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. You're testing.
Hello. Let me ask you.
Then you go back. What's going to Hi, in the love.
Good evening.
Evening.
We're going to start in a few seconds.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we're in starting at section 37, let there be a firmament, verse 154. L'shem yichud kud shabarichu ishkin te bidchilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu. L'yachta shem yudhe bavavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadenu kananei aleinu ma'aseh yadenu kananeihu. Vayehi rakiya b'toch ha'mayim amar Rabbi Yehuda v'hayit perashu ma'ayin ilayin mitmayin Tatain Rakia Peshitu Ta Demain Wehait Mar Vayahi Mavdil Ben Maim Ilain Latatain. Let there be a firmament amidst the water. Rabbi Yehuda said that these words indicate that the upper water was separated from the lower water, and that a firmament means that the spreading of water. Hence he continues the words, and let it divide water from water, mean let there be a division between the upper and lower waters. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Now, are we talking about water in the ocean, or the air and the
You're talking about both. This is referring to the firmament that was created to separate the upper waters from the lower waters. No, it could be outer space to air, to the atmosphere. It could be the air. It could be between the water that's in the Oort cloud in outer space and the water in our oceans. There are many different understandings. It could be the separation between the water in your swimming pool, if you have one, from the water that you drink in a glass or from the rain. They're saying that there is a separation between water and water. Water is a metaphor for chesed, for love. And there's a separation between love and love. Are there different kinds of love?
There's mother love,
there's soulmate love, exactly.
Yeah, how much I love mushrooms.
So, to say that we're talking about one thing, you're not. You have to understand that this is a general statement, and it applies to all references to that. Does anybody have any comments?
Different ways of love expression.
Yes. Does anybody have any comments or thoughts they want to express or questions?
Yes. Well, I kind of think we take this one for granted a lot, you know, that after Hashem created the earth and we had land and we had water and then he divided those waters, I think that's what, you know, normally comes to our mind. And there's water above in the atmosphere as well as, you know, and I think that's kind of how we've taken it. We haven't looked, I know we do in Kabbalah class, looking upon water as chesed, but I think we just take those verses just sort of nonchalantly when we read them every year. At least I noticed that when we start over reading the Torah portion, you know, we just kind of glide over those and you have a little mental picture, but no one thinks too much.
Basically, we only have like usually three to 4 days at most to study the portion of Bereishit. And obviously there's so much in it, but because the Shabbat reading of Bereishit is right after the end of the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So it can mean in the beginning or it can mean in the a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can mean two beginnings.
Can you live with all of it is always.
I don't think I really thought about the definition of firmament and seeing it defined here.
Well, it's interesting. Look at the Hebrew word.
I was looking for it.
The Hebrew word is rafia.
Oh.
Rakia, if you permutate the letters, if you parse the letters, it can be Raki and then the ayin. So it says, see my head monkey. That's really the translation of those letters directly. Another way of understanding it is see my coldness, because that's what separation is. When you separate, you don't create unity, and that is coldness. If you permute the letters resh and kuf to be kar. But the other thing that's hinted at here, but only science has developed, and I have to explain again the idea. When we were in school number of years ago, the evaporative cycle that we were taught is that the ocean evaporated, became clouds, and then it rained on the land. And then the excess water would flow to the oceans. So it was a continuous cycle. But in reality, when they've recalculated the quantities involved, there's not enough water that to provide all of the water in the world. And so what they've, now the theory is, or the maybe it's scientific fact at this point, I'm not sure, all of those icicles that burn up as shooting stars and meteors that hit the atmosphere, all of them are basically water. And when they burn up, that water goes into the atmosphere and that becomes... that's necessary to enhance the evaporative cycle. And that's what's hinted at in this idea of separating the water that was in the Oort clouds, which is basically meteors, ice meteors, and the water that's on the earth. And that's what's being described by this verse in the Torah. Let there be a separation, which is called a firmament, between the waters, the upper and the lower. First,
you explained to us in church that you all use this faith and to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nothing is creating my image to be
correct. Yes. But that's been the scientific, one of the thermodynamic laws. Verse 155. Vayas Elokim et harakia de'avad de'avid be'ya avidta iskihu ila avayhi rakia lakiti vela vayas tiaske leya birvu sagya. And Elohim made the firmaments. The words "and Elohim made" indicate that he acted by supernal greatness. It was not said there was a firmament, but that he made the firmament, indicating that he invested it with greatness. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking of the scripture that it says the heavens declare the glory of God, which
yes.
Made me go with he invested it with greatness.
Well, you have to remember that greatness is was the old name for Chesed. The old name was Gedola. When the older Kabbalists would speak, they didn't call the Sephirah of Chesed Chesed, they called it Gedola. Gedula, meaning greatness, largeness. So he's saying the firmament is invested with love also. So what separates the upper love from the lower love is also love. That's what's being taught, said in this verse. And what it's really implying and hinting at is the only way you can separate from one thing to another is with that same thing. Imagine a cup that is made of ice and fill that cup with ice. Is there a separation between the water? I don't mean fill the cup with ice, I mean fill it with water. Is there a separation between the water and the cup? They're the same material.
The
water and the cup. If the cup is ice, ice is water. You pour water into the cup. Is there a separation between the water and the cup? What it's saying is the firmament is love. This verse is telling us that what separates things is love. Now, we have all of our whole society telling us that love is what brings unity.
Yeah.
But is there a need to create separation? We're also told that there is a need to create separation. And the only thing that creates separation is that same thing. It's a way of explaining how you create in unity is one plus one is not two, it's one. But in the illusion, there's one plus is also one, and then a second one. So it's one one and one creates unity. And that goes back to explain why the third day is good, whereas the second day it's not said. But on the third day it says good twice. Because you read an English translation and not the original. It's clear in the Hebrew. It's a translation. And the French translation came from the Latin. It didn't come from the well, it probably came from the Greek, but it didn't come from the Hebrew. Verse 156. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Besheni Ipere Gehinom Lechayave Alma Basheni Itpere Machloket Besheni La Ishtalim Beya Avita Ugin Kach Lakitiv Beya Kito Adiata Yom Telita Vishtalem Beya Avita Begin Kach Ki Tov Tire Zimne Chadalish Ashlamut Avita Diom Sheni Vechad Legar Meya Vyom Telita Itakan Yom Sheni Vyit Parash Beya Machloket Uveya Ishtalimu Rachame Al Hayave Gehinom Beyoma Talita Mishtachin Shevivin Gehinom Shevivne Bach Kach Id Kalel Beya Yom Sheni Ve'ishtalem be'ya. Rabbi Yitzhak said that in the second day, Gehinom was created for the wicked of the world. On the second day, conflict was created. The work was not finished on the second day, but on the third. Thus the words, and it was good, were not used in conjunction with the second day. They were used only when the third day came. And the work was accomplished. Hence, and it was good was said twice, once for finishing the work started on the second day, and once in reference to the third day's work. On the third day, the second day was corrected, and the conflict was settled for the sake of revealing the radiance of both. On the third day, mercy was extended to exempt all the sinners in Gehinnom from judgment. On the third day, the flames of Gehinnom were moderated or cooled so that they did not scorch anymore. Hence, the second day was included in the third and completed by it. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Now, was the first and second day included in the third?
Yes. Because in mathematics, 1 plus 2 is 4. What it's saying is...
Excuse me.
No, go ahead.
Well, it sounds like we've left the earthly... planet, and now it's talking about Gehinnom.
Gehinnom, as we know, is hell, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it saying? It's saying that when you you have something that is not one, you have hell. You have conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that is not included in the one, it's outside of the one, it wants to come back into the one, or it wants to be in control of the one. And so the idea, what's wrong with the number two, is the question. The second day is the number two. It's day two. What's wrong with day two? It's saying that the work wasn't completed. Why wasn't it completed? Because the number two, by its essence, is not the number one. It's not in unity. It's separated. It knows that there is a number one. And that consciousness creates conflict. It creates a desire to control. It creates a desire to be unified again. Because the number two is included in the number one. Because everything is in the number one. But now when you create the rakia, the firmament, the separation, the number two knows that there's a number one. So either it wants to go back to being in the number one, or it wants to control the number one.
Or it wants to realize it has number one is all inclusive.
Yes, number one is all inclusive. And number one will be everything returning to being all inclusive. But until it's all inclusive, in the frame of the process, it's separated. You and I are two different chairs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we sitting in one chair?
We want to be comfortable.
Because we're separated.
Because we're separated. So to deny the separation, ultimately we were all one, and ultimately we will all be one. But between those two states, those two essences, there's a process. And to deny the process leaves you in hell.
How about nothing in harmony ever entered being for life itself?
You're coming from a frame that isn't willing to accept there's a possibility of a different idea. But there was one thing I wanted to say from this verse, and it's the idea that's reinforced here. God did not say the second day was good. He waited until he completed the work of the second day on the third day, and also completed the work of the third day, which then he said, this is very good, meaning good twice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very, very significant truth. For how do you apply this to your own life? When you are separated, when you perceive separation, you're putting yourself in Gehinnom. That's the meaning, or that's the essence of these words. You're putting yourself in hell because you choose to perceive separation. Is there separation? Again, as you said, we were all one, and we are only all one. There is never separation. So, why am I not sitting in your lap?
You want to
come to me? No, If I'm number two, I want to control number one. So I want to sit in your lap so you'll be uncomfortable and I'll be comfortable.
Sure.
I'm joking with this.
No, you're acting just like a good woman, no.
Verse 157. Rabbi Shimon Amarlo Hai Orbiyom Rishon Vichoshech Biyom Sheni Vit Perashu Maya Machloket Awa Beya Amaila Ishtalem Biyom Rishon Behayamina Kalel Lismala Amar lo alda hawa machloket utlita'a ba'e lemeal b'nai hu li'achra'a ulaska'a b'ho shalom. Rabbi Shia was sitting in front of Rabbi Shimon, asking him, why, if the light emerged on the first day, and if darkness, the separation of waters, and discord occurred on the second, was all not resolved by the illumination of the first day, when the right embraced the left? And because the light of the right, considered the root of the second day, had already emerged on the first day, why was the second day made in need of the third day's correction? And Rabbi Chia further pointed out that through the second day's correction by the third day, its own radiance was reduced, such that it could not shine downward. If the second day had been corrected by the first day, then it would have maintained its essence and not have reduced itself. Rabbi Shimon said that this was the reason for the conflict. Actually, the first day wanted to correct the deficiency of the second, as the root wants to correct the branch. But the second day would not accept any control by the first day and dissented. Hence, it was necessary for the third day to intervene and settle the conflict between them and restore peace.
Mm-hmm.
And you now have the reason that Isaac accepted the binding. And that is a hint. Because if you need the explanation, you need first to contemplate it before you get an explanation.
I have to go back and reread it.
The question that I'm answering is a question that most people never raise. Isaac wasn't sacrificed, correct?
Yes.
And
well,
something
he was.
We call it the binding of Isaac, not the sacrifice of Isaac.
Right.
So Isaac accepted being bound by Abraham. Abraham represents Yom Echad, the one day, where everything
mm-hmm.
is unified. Isaac, being number two, didn't accept the correction of day one. The second day didn't accept the correction of the light of the first day until Isaac accepted the binding by Abraham, because these were physical manifestations, physical reflections of the 2 days.
I saw a lot into Abraham saying God will provide himself. And therefore,
It's a corrupted translation that you're describing. It's not what was
right.
said.
What was said?
Abraham did say God will provide himself a sacrifice.
Isaac asked Abraham, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide it.
I think it didn't appear until he said that.
What didn't appear? The ram? The ram? No. Isaac had to accept that Abraham would sacrifice it, would bind him. What that is a metaphor for this discussion. Day one is Abraham. Day two is Isaac. Day one said to day two, you're not complete. I need to correct you. Here's my light to correct you. And day two said, no, I don't want to accept your light. And from that point until Isaac said, yes, Dad, you can bind me, the world was not in correction. But when he said, yes, Dad, you can bind me, the whole world became complete.
And the ram showed up.
And the ram showed up. The ram was always there.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham's sight was limited. Isaac's sight was limited. This is the process. The process is limitation. The purpose of the process is so that we perceive unity behind the illusion of the separation. The denying of the separation is the corruption. Are there any other questions or comments?
But you don't sense.
I'm sorry?
Any fear. In Isaac.
Do I sense fear in Isaac? He wasn't fearful. He was accepting his correction. We come into this world to achieve a correction, to fix mistakes that the religious call sins. But you deny that there was any mistakes. Again, that's the corruption, because here's the day, the 2 days. One day is light, the other day is not light. It has its own light. It's still light. It's just not the same light as the day one. It's not, doesn't include everything. Day two has to accept the correction of the light of day one. Unless it does that, there is no fixing, there's no correction. There's no unity between day one and day two. They're always in conflict. But conflict isn't love. Although there are many marriages that would describe it that way. Conflict is not love. Discussion is
yeah.
is love. This section is extremely powerful. If you
Abraham day one,
Isaac day two, mm-hmm. Jacob is day three.
Jacob, and Jacob is good. Very good.
But can there be anything better than good? No. If you add, you lessen. You know this rule. It's a spiritual law. If you add it, you lessen.
And when you add to perfection, makes it imperfect.
So how can Jacob be very good? That means it's less. Because he's no longer very good. He's now calm, complete.
Because he fought with God. How did he fight with God? Who can fight with God?
He didn't win. He wrestled with God.
Yeah.
We all wrestle with God.
Yeah. Not me. I say, yes, sir, definitely.
And so, therefore, you are not doing what you were put in this earth to do.
Yeah.
But the people on this call understand where I'm coming from because they've been studying with me. The rest of this, we can have a separate discussion. Does anybody have any questions or thoughts on this section we just read?
Well, I was getting ready to look up the spelling of Shimon. Because a friend emailed me and said her husband was really sick. And I happened to, that was why I was distracted a while ago. I happened to notice the spelling in Aramaic, and I wondered if it was the same as it was in Hebrew. Would you know just right off and save me 3 minutes of looking it up?
Shimon is spelled Shin Mem Ayin Vav Nun.
Okay, so just like it is in the Aramaic. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I like to match the Aleph-Bet verses in Psalm 119 with the person's name when they're sick. And so that was... Yes. Caught my eye. You know.
It's the shins. You should use those 8 verses in the shins.
Okay.
See, I studied a lot of psychology. To me, it always looked like Abraham was just being their only God. And then comes Isaac. And then he... In his mind, he makes it up if God wants him to sacrifice Isaac. That is his own help. And then God has his fear. He gives him a sacrifice.
No.
No.
First off,
no, like,
psychology is a lower level than ultimate truth.
Yeah.
So, we'll talk about it. You all have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I see my own...